and I would not do so. And so I began a multi-year set of activities to blow the whistle on the secret surveillance programs that ultimately were the foundation in those first years after 9/11 that became institutionalized. And then we have the prima facie evidence, the documented evidence that Edward Snowden has disclosed with extraordinary conviction of courage to make it available in the public interest. You cannot have governance in the United States, you know, without the consent of the governed. And what we have is a secret government who's governing out consent and is doing so in secret coercion.
And finally, Sarah Harrison could be also very seriously endangered by all that she has done, targeted by the British and U.S. governments. Was there concern about this, Tom?
Yes. Well, I mean, she sacrificed herself and essentially is in her own way under her own asylum.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you for being with us. Happy birthday, Miguel Noguera. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is more talk radio with our hosts Cecil Prescott and Celeste Carey. Today's guest is Stephen Ramirez. He's author of the book Lawless Capitalism.
Well, listeners, you may have heard my voice before. Portland wouldn't be what it is today without KBOO Radio. KBOO Radio has brought people together through the airwaves in an interactive process that has allowed Portland to become a richer, more vibrant, more progressive city. A city that let go of a freeway along what is now Waterfront Park. A city that has an activist community, whether it's for bike lanes or fancy food or whatever it is. KBOO has been part of the cultural underpinning of all that we have become together. Yep, you've heard me before. I'm Vicky Tempe, now Victoria Stapiello. I was a station manager when we built our studios in the early 1980s. All I did then was pitch for money so that we could do this debt-free. We own our own home. We have no mortgage. Not my doing, but all of our doing. We need you to continue to support KBOO as a vibrant, healthy underlayment for all that we build in our community.
My name is Cecil Prescott, and I welcome you and thank you for joining us this morning.
This morning we have as our guest Stephen Ramirez, who is a professor of law and the author of the book entitled Lawless Capitalism. In this book, he posits an interesting thesis on our economic crisis and how we might solve it. We invite your calls to join us at 503-231-8187. And if you may also email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com. We hope that you will participate in this morning conversation as we enter into what promises to be a great and exciting conversation. So let's begin by welcoming our guests, and thank you for joining us, sir.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very pleased to be here.
Well, we are in the midst of our membership drive, so we're going to have to interrupt our conversation periodically. But I thought we might begin by, first, you might share with our audience maybe a teaser about the theme of your book.
Well, I think the theme is pretty straightforward. Basically, I argue that we should follow the money in trying to figure out what happened with the financial crisis of 2008 and what's happened to our economy since then. And if you follow the money, what you see is that those who hold the most power in our society really cleaned up and walked away with hundreds of millions of dollars, while the rest of us, the 99.9% of the rest of us, are stuck with a stagnant economy, contracting job opportunities, more government debt, less government services, and basically all the pain that we've seen since 2008, 2009 in terms of higher poverty rates, more difficulty in attaining tertiary education, a compromised educational system. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. We're talking about deep and pervasive economic carnage for the vast majority of Americans. And really, the only winners are a handful of corporate and financial elites on Wall Street.
And it seems, you know, just looking at the title again, it seems as if you are positioning the fact that there's something about not necessarily the economic system, but by those who refuse to play by the rules. Is that correct?
I think that's exactly right. I think that certainly economics matters, but a big part of economics is the legal and regulatory infrastructure that undergirds our economy. And we've learned through history and through painful lessons in the past that law must operate to constrain and curb power productively. And when our legal system does that, our economy can perform at very great heights. And when our legal system doesn't do that, then financial crises become more common. And although most of us view financial crises as a bad thing, we should recognize that one thing that happens during a financial crisis is that trillions of dollars in wealth starts moving rapidly. That's almost the definition of a financial crisis. And so what you need to do is you need to take account of where the wealth is moving. In 2008, we saw the most disempowered elements of our society take the greatest losses. And we saw the most powerful, the very exalted apex of our economy suck in huge amounts of cash. We shouldn't be surprised if that happens again until we fix our legal system in a way that holds power to account, that assesses real criminal and civil liability on malefactors, and that makes sure that we don't let disempowerment get too carried away at the bottom end of our economy. Disempowerment and excessive concentration of power are two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. When you get lots and lots of power concentrated at the top, lots and lots of wealth concentrated on the top, by definition, there's a large part of your citizenry that is going to be disempowered and burdened. And we saw that in 2008. We saw that in the economic aftermath of 2008. We see that today.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city, 91.9 in Columbia River Gorge, 104.3 in Philomath and Corvallis, and on the web, www.kboo.fm. Professor Ramirez, I have a question here to ask you, and I do want to let you know that we're in the middle of our fund and membership raising drive. And so when you talk about concentration of power at the top, we know that information is just as good as money. You know, if we don't have the information to make choices, we don't make good choices. We don't have as much control over our destiny, over our future, over our livelihoods as we'd like to have. And so I want to have you hold for a minute. I want to do a pitching point with you, if I could. In terms of you getting your information out, have you found that some of the non-corporate community-based facilities have been helpful?
Well, I think that so far I've given three interviews, and all three interviews are what you might term non-traditional corporate-controlled outlets. In other words, NPR are two interviews, and RT Television is the third one. So, yeah, it's very hard to get a message that counter to the mainstream interests of those who hold the most power in our society out. And frankly, public radio has been a godsend in that respect, not just in terms of my own personal work, lawless capitalism, but also just in terms of throughout this crisis, delivering accurate fact-based information and analysis from start to finish.
Thank you. And with that, we want to encourage those people who are listening and appreciate the fact that KBOO does try to get behind the scenes and look for people who do in-depth analysis, who do penetrating analysis, who bring you the truth of what's going on behind the veil, so to speak, and help you to be more informed and able to make better choices in your life and to feel that scope of control, the span of control over your own affairs. We'd like to think that KBOO is your partner in keeping you informed and keeping you powerful. Isn't that so?
That's right, Celeste.
Absolutely.
This is Linda here and Joe out in
Joe.
Membership.
That's Linda.
That's right. You can tell by the voices. Hey, we have some people to thank, Celeste and Cecil. It's Bill, a renewing membership from Northeast Portland.
Ooh, thank
Jane,
you, Bill.
Jane, a renewing membership from Southwest Portland. And Randolph from Malala. Thank you from the outlying area. I do like people who are in the outlying areas to give us a little shout out and call us right now at 877.
They lie out.
They're just not outright lying.
You know, outlying areas, I'm thinking of misty fields. You go almost any direction except the gorge. You're going out to misty fields on a cool morning like this. I want to thank all of you out there who are listening right now. You really make a difference. We made our goal for Democracy Now. We've got a great start for this morning. Please keep us going. And I can't think of a better gift to have for you than the one called Lawless Capitalism. You know, I bet many of you do get your real economic news about what's really happening in the economy besides through your own life and your own paychecks. You get it from KBOO. And, you know, that's the kind of difference we make, is it's the only way you can find real information.
You know, this is so true. I want all of you listening to this show, first of all, I want to remark on the importance of Lawless Capitalism by Stephen A. Ramirez. And I want to emphasize, you may not realize, because you take it for granted, how valuable a resource KBOO is. But if you look at history of the region, all of the big movements of all kinds, from the left and from the liberal and from even the center, have had their starts or had their support directly from independent radio, from listener-supported radio, from KBOO. Don't let that die. Don't put it at risk. Make it stronger. Help us now. Give us some money. The bigger amount, the better, but any amount is welcome. KBOO.FM on the internet. KBOO, that's KBOO.FM on the internet. And on the telephone, an ancient instrument of great importance, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you're the person that makes the difference. If you feel like, well, you've already contributed this year and you know, you kind of want to contribute, think about a friend that you would like to give this book to. Think about someone for Christmas. But make that call right now.
Hanukkah.
Keep our phones ringing this
Kwanzaa.
Morning. Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and the solstice as well. 877-500-5266. Now we're going to go back to Celeste and Cecil and their guest, Stephen A. Ramirez.
Well, thank you so much for exhorting and encouraging folks to become active members and supporters of KBOO and not just passive listeners. No. We want to go back to our interview. We are speaking with Stephen A. Ramirez, who is the author of Lawless Capitalism, The Subprime Crisis, and The Case for Economic Rule of Law. And I want to go back to, as Cecil was trying to point out, some of the beginnings here. If I understand correctly, a lot of this gigantic growth and power that became concentrated took place with some deregulation. And we know that, at least on the conservative side of things, the idea is that deregulation is going to open up the field and allow a constricted marketplace or a constricted area to have more freedom to move. And it seems that's exactly what happened. But when did this deregulation take place that led us to the type of bloated growth we have now within the banks and the lack of accountability?
Well, I think you have to go back to the late 1970s and early 1980s when a series of tax cuts fundamentally changed the distribution of income in our society. And I chart the changes in the distribution of income in our society in the text by focusing on the percentage of GDP controlled by the top 0.01%. And what happens is that the folks at the very top basically sextuple the amount of GDP that they control from 1978 through 2008 on the cusp of the crisis. And with all of that economic power in a very small number of hands, we're talking about 1 in 10,000 citizens, what happens is very predictable. They begin to cozy up to politicians and regulators, and this was perfectly bipartisan in the way that this played out since the 1980s. And as a result, they are able to influence law and regulation in a way that most of us can't even dream about. So, you know, when I try to call my United States senator, I'm lucky if I get a call back from a staffer. Same thing with my congressperson. Well, these folks are making $11 million a year. They hang out with friends who make a lot of money. And consequently, they're on the speed dial of these representatives of ours and these senators of ours who constantly face more and more pressure to raise more money to meet the next election campaign challenge. And so I think really the money comes first. And once they controlled vast amounts of money, they were able to influence law and regulation to their benefit and to our detriment. It really just comes down to incentives. It comes down to incentives and power. The incentive to rig law has always been present. The money furnished the power to do so. And you need to keep in mind, too, that one of the first places where you begin to see distorted law and regulation is over the public corporation. And publicly traded firms in the United States, the Goldman Sachs, the J.P. Morgan Chases, they sit on trillions of dollars of wealth. And so it's not just the personal wealth of these financial and corporate elites, the CEOs, that matters. What matters is also their ability to control the coffers of major corporations. So as of today, the top four banks control $7.9 trillion. And, you know, that's a lot of money beyond the reach of any, even a small group of individuals. So it's a combination of personal wealth, economic concentration in terms of personal wealth, and their ability to dominate public corporations that has given rise to this multi-decade trend of subverting law and regulation.
So you mentioned that these people, this small group, of this entity, has a disproportionate influence over our legislators. For many people, perhaps in 2008, when we became frighteningly aware of this crisis, we might have said, well, you know, these are the people we elect. Aren't there rules in place? So were there rules in place, or did they subvert the rules to prevent this crisis?
Well, the good news in this story is that we've done this before. In the past, law has operated to control and curb the power, the exercise of economic power. So we faced this problem of too much power in too few hands before. And the United States, in fact, has a longstanding cultural norm of suspicion of power. We don't have kings in the United States. We were the world's first constitutional democracy, and we've always been suspect of concentrations of power in the political sphere. We just need to sort of translate that to the economic sphere. But I suppose what I would say is that it's not this. My thesis doesn't turn on people being good or bad. My thesis turns on the shift of economic resources upwards and the incentives that that creates.
Uh-huh. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO Portland. And as you've heard, we're not talking about just good or bad people. We're talking about how there is a shift, both based on influence and based on money, and access to influence and access to money. Now, influence and money are very important concepts to focus on here, and that is why we are trying to build a concentration of supporters here at KBOO. You give us the money and you give us the strength to help keep the word out so that we can beat back negative influences and we can promote the positive influences by dialing 877-500-5266 or going to our website, kboo.fm. You can make a financial pledge. We do not abuse your influence. We do not abuse your money. As a matter of fact, you should come see what wonders and miracles we do with the money that we use in such a small footprint.
You know, I really like what you're saying, Celeste. This is Linda here in Membership Central. I like what you're saying about let your money have influence. Let your influence act in the world out there through your money. That really is what happens when you give your money to KBIO, and it's a really good way to say it. I've never thought of it exactly that way. We need you to pick up the phone and join the people who have already become members during this hour. It's 877-500-5266. I know many of you tune in to Cecil and Celeste every Monday morning when I've had the great pleasure to sit in for them. I know there have been people going, hey, wait, that's not Cecil, that's not Celeste. For you who really count on hearing them every morning following your, every Monday morning following Democracy Now!, please take this very moment to become a member. It does really show your support for the particular programming as well as for KBOO as a whole. We have a goal of 600, a pretty substantial goal.
Nah, it's a mere bagatelle.
A bagatelle kind of goal.
Whatever that is.
A bag of cash.
And we are there. So we need, but we want $475 more dollars to come in the next, 40 minutes. It's real possible to do, but only if the phones keep ringing.
And just remember, folks, it's not just this wonderful Cecil and Celeste show. It's not just any one show or any two shows or three or four. It's 24/7 excellent radio, including, and I always emphasize this because people tend to forget, the best in music, world music, local folk music, anything you can
live
imagine.
Live music in the studio. So often when I tune in an afternoon or an evening, they've got the band in the studio. I love that.
So now, right now, before you have to think too much about all of this, think of this. Without this station, this space on the dial doesn't go dark. It goes bad. So what we want you to do is use your computer and go to kboo.fm. That's kboo.fm. Or on the regular telephone, 877-500-5266.
And that
that's
is 877.
Yeah, 877-500-5266.
You know, I'd like to take a second to thank Larry, renewing member from Salem, Outlying Areas, calling.
Yay, Larry!
Larry.
And Jane, and Bob, and was it Randall?
Yes, and now we have Scott.
And
renewing
Scott.
From
thank
Southeast
you.
Portland. You guys, each and every one of you makes a difference in your money. You just used your influence with your money because your money is going to help influence a lot of people by giving them knowledge and information about local activities and about important national issues, as well as giving them a lot of pleasure with music. So thank you so much. And keep the rest of those phones ringing. We don't like our phone answerers to get bored back here. They get a little wild. It's 877-500-5266. You really do make the difference. Keep us
rolling down the highway of truth.
Well, and keep the momentum going. It's a thing that's really true is once things start rolling, they want to tend to keep rolling, and they are doing that right now, and you can be the person that makes a difference. I want to say once again, it's a really small monthly pledge of, I believe, just $5 a month. Yep, it is, to get this great book, Lawless
this book
Capitalism,
is fabulous.
By Stephen A. Ramirez. It's so important to cover these, and we know that they lied to us underneath it, but we don't know exactly how. This is one of the ways to get the information, or at least for me, I'm not so good at knowing how, but I can tell when I'm getting taken. So for just a minimum $60 pledge, that's $5 a month out of your checking account. If you'd like to do that, we have what we call an electronic funds transfer, where we take it out automatically. You don't even have to worry about it. We do that for a full year until
you'll never
hear from
feel
you
a thing.
We hope you'll never feel a thing. It will make such a difference. Have your money influence the world. Call us right now, 877-500-5266. Become a member of KBOO or renew your membership. If you're, you know, over towards the coast, maybe you're halfway to the coast and you live up there in the Misty Mountains, but you're getting KBOO, please take a moment to, you know, pull up your computer or pull out your smartphone or pick up your phone and call us at 877-500-5266. If you've never gone to us on the web, please do. Look at our website. Enjoy it. We've been rebuilding it after we had some problems with it. It's kboo.fm, and there's a jar in the upper right-hand side. It says donate today. So really easy to do. It only takes you a few minutes, just a few minutes to really have your money have influence.
Yes, it's absolutely true. And you don't want to miss the opportunity to make your contribution right now to KBOO. It's so vitally important. You've got to realize, and I think maybe most of you listening do, but it's very important to understand, this station flies by its own wings, by which I mean we don't get no government support. We don't get no private industrial support. Mm-mm. The Koch brothers are not eager to give us money. Quite the contrary.
They might be eager to buy us, but they're not eager to give us money.
We're not for sale, and that's the point. KBOO.FM, 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266. Do that call. Do that element on the internet. Make it happen. Make it happen today, not just for yourself or your family, but for the region.
And absolutely.
I see one phone open. We don't like to
have
one phone open. Please.
Better call before the books are gone. Call before the books are gone.
You know, that's actually true. There have been quite a few phone calls. So the book, once again, just so you, I remind you of the name of it, it's Lawless Capitalism by Stephen Ramirez. It's subtitled The Subprime Crisis and the Case for Economic Rule of Law. Wouldn't that be something if we actually had an economic rule of law? I want to thank all of you who have been calling in. Please keep the phones ringing. I believe it's time for us to go back to our program.
Thank you so much, Linda, and thank you so much, Joe. When we left before our membership encouragement, we were talking about access to influence and access to power and money. And Professor Ramirez, that was what you said was the axis of your thesis. Many of us would think, okay, there are already laws in place that would inhibit this. But as we know, sometimes, well, often, maybe even always, access to power will corrupt. What happened? How did we get where we are?
Well, the money became overwhelming. So, for example, Robert Rubin was Secretary of Treasury under the Clinton administration. He ultimately left and became vice chairman of the board at Citigroup. And over the next 10 years or so, he made about $115 million.
Bringing lots of influence with him.
Right, exactly. And it's interesting, too, because the Clinton administration famously, of course, or infamously, of course, repealed Glass-Steagall to allow Citigroup to exist in the manifestation that hired Robert Rubin. Mm-hmm. And Robert Rubin was a big part of that. And when he went to Citigroup, he was a big part of the new mega bank that Citigroup became after it took over Travelers Insurance. So my question is this: how many people in our society can hope to make $110 million over 9-10 years? It's pretty rare. And how many people can afford to hire someone for $115-110 million over 9 or 10 years? That's rarer still. So when you think about what happened to our society and you think about the influence these folks have, you need to understand the revolving door between government and between commercial interests and especially finance. And, you know, it was interesting because the disclosure statement on what Robert Rubin was going to be doing for that money had a famous line where they basically said he would have no line responsibilities.
So
that kind of influence, it's hard to regulate that. You need to have post-employment restrictions on our government servants like we see with the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve Board, I think, is a good contrast. It's pretty rare that you see someone leaving the Federal Reserve Board of Governors and going into private industry for huge amounts of money.
So, for example, can you tell us why?
there's post-employment restrictions on Federal Reserve employees that are relatively stringent. And I think that, you know, it makes sense to have it in the Federal Reserve institutional
yes.
structure, because that's such a powerful institution that you want to contain the amount of power that an individual can exercise while they have one eye on the exit and the riches that can be had in the private sector. So I think it makes sense to do that with the Federal Reserve. We should expand that beyond the Federal Reserve. We should have a new institutional structure for powerful regulators that gives them tenure of position, that gives them relatively competitive salaries, gives them job security, nice benefits, and the quid pro quo of that is that they can't go out and work for the people they're regulating after they leave.
So a question that often comes up is that we want to make sure that we have the best people, policymakers.
Mm-hmm.
And if we place too many restrictions, that might not happen.
And apparently the thrill of serving your government is not as big of an inducement as it used to be. So how do we get the best and the brightest if there are these regulations?
Well, I think that on some level, before we get too carried away with this term, the best and the brightest, it's pretty clear that the people who were running our economy in 2008 and are still in power today are not the best and the brightest.
Not the best, the brightest, or the nicest, so to speak.
Yeah, I like to call them the most irresponsible and reckless.
Reckless, yes.
I think really, when you look at, for example, the FCIC, the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission, did an extensive investigation on what happened on Wall Street in 2008. They were able to subpoena millions of documents. And one of the things they found is that these folks on Wall Street actually had a term, "I'll be gone, you'll be gone." And they used that term to refer to the fact that they knew that the system was going to fall apart at the seams eventually, but they didn't care because they wanted to ring up as many short-term income gains and windfall compensation payments as possible. So, you know, it's not as if the private sector has a monopoly on the best and the brightest. I would say far from it. In addition, it is true that there's going to be some level of co-opting occurring. Larry Summers famously said that one of the broad social problems we have in America today is there isn't much space between the co-opted and the ignorant. And I can see that, especially with something like financial regulation. But, you know, in the past, these very complicated topics had been managed well in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, it's something that I think for sure we can do. I think that there has to be the right law and regulation in place. And I think if you create space for super regulators who are relatively high compensated and who have job security and nice benefits, that you'd be surprised at the smart and responsible leadership that could emerge in response to that kind of institutional reality. Now, compare that to today, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of a government shutdown. We've got all these government employees milling about wondering when their next paycheck is going to show up. They don't know if they're going to be able to make their next mortgage payment. And, you know, it makes government employment look like a bum rap. So when you say that, you know, it's hard to attract talented and responsible and bright people into the government, maybe that's part of the way that they've rigged our economy, and maybe that's the next phase that we're dealing with. I mean, I have to say that as a former SEC enforcement attorney and a former FDIC senior attorney who was in charge of pursuing professional liability claims against errant bankers, that I really treasure my time with the government. And I would be happy to go back in the government under the right conditions. I don't think I'd want to go back to a government that is operating the way that our government is right now.
You're listening to More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. We are speaking today with Professor Stephen A. Ramirez, author of Lawless Capitalism. The phone number, if you've got some questions for him regarding his thesis of rule of law, can lift us out of some of the possibilities of extended depressions or economic crises, give us a call, 503-231-8187. I have a question here. Well, Cecil, you've got something here.
Well, a listener called and wanted to know about a comment you made earlier in terms of the concentration of wealth. And she wondered, did the top 0.1% really multiply their wealth by sevenfold? Is that what you said, septupled?
Yeah. If you take a look at my book, the chart, this is based on the work of Emmanuel Saez, who is the nation's foremost leader on economic inequality. So page 36 of my book shows the chart. And basically, the top 0.01% income share went from about 1% in the 50s and 60s when we were highly prosperous to over 6% on the cusp of the crisis. So it's a huge increase in the amount of wealth controlled at the very top. I'm not making it up.
No, as I look at this, as I look at this chart, I see that it did a drop right around the 30s. It did a bigger drop than about the 40s, and it wasn't flat. It had peaks and valleys, and through the 70s, which I guess is about when we were in the middle of our oil crisis and our political problems in the Middle East. But then from about 83 onward, it just shot up unregulated. So I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, okay, earlier in our interview, one of the things you said that was most important to remember was not necessarily just whether these people are good or bad, which of course has been borne out, but the fact that they had undue influence and access to money. So my question then would be that we're talking about corporations and government being complicit with each other so that one hand washes the other. How do we break that relationship? And I'll use the pun that you used, because I thought it was priceless, and that's intended as well, that you treasured your time with the government. But my concern is that there may be not enough opportunities for those who would break that bond and show that there's a better and more ethical mode of business.
Well, I think that's a great point, and I think you stated that very well. You know, the way I think about this is disempowerment and excessive concentration of power is two sides of the same coin. You know, we've got a childhood poverty rate that is dead last among developed nations. We have more childhood poverty than just about any other developed nation in the world. We have minority communities that are more disempowered than third world nations. So in the African American community, childhood poverty pushes 40%. In the Latino community, childhood poverty pushes 30-35%. And it's not getting better. In fact, Professor Saez updated his work that I have summarized in the chart on page 36 very recently, last month. And what he found is that since the crisis, 95% of the income gains in our economy have gone to the top 1%, and everyone else has stagnated. So we've got an economic reality today where, I don't know, 80% of America, 90% of America is really in a permanent recession and has been for multiple decades. The income at the median level has stagnated while incomes at the top have soared. So really, at this point, we need to think about more power to more people. That means things like more money for education, more money for higher education. It means we don't slash food stamps at a time when poverty is at a 20-year high. These are the kinds of things that people need to get angry about, these things. You know, personally, I find it morally reprehensible that 40% of African American children are living in poverty. It's economically backwards and it's morally reprehensible. And when people start to get their mind around these facts and get angry about these facts, then you'll know that a new cultural suspicion of concentrated economic power is taking root.
We're going to ask you to hold that, and we want you to continue in a moment about some of the solutions you offer about how to change our current reality. But we want to encourage those of you who are listening to give us a call at 877-500-5266 or go to your computer and go to kboo.fm and donate to become a member of this community and a part of the solution. What else can you tell us, Joe?
Oh yeah, we can tell you that we have some great, generous givers. There's George, and there's Lance.
Thank you, George.
George is a renewing member from Southwest Portland. This is Linda, and Lance is a brand new member from Oregon City. Once again, those outlying areas are really rocking it. You know, I was sitting here and thinking, Celeste. Darn, you got us a great guest for Pledge Break. You know, we as programmers here at KBOO, we're always thinking for the membership drive, we want to have someone special, someone to entice you to really support KBOO. And I've been listening to this interview, and I'm just so impressed with Stephen Ramirez and the information in his book and his stance about, you know, what is so wrong with what's going, lawless capitalism. So if you're like that, if you're like me and you're like grateful to get such great radio in the morning, please join all the others who have been supporting us this morning. It's really been a great role of people setting in. Join them. Become a member. 877-500-5266. You can get a copy of this great book. Read it yourself. Pass it on to friends. Get two copies. Heck, become a member at the $120 level, which is only $10 a month. Get this book for yourself and one for your friend or a gift at Christmas. It's the perfect way to do it. This kind of information isn't broadly out there in the way. He doesn't probably have someone buying hundreds of thousands of these to put in Costco's across the country.
Really? It's not a Costco kind of book.
It takes real people to read this and want to read it. Please do. Become a member right now. I haven't heard the phone ring in the last 2 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Think of Kwanzaa. Think of Hanukkah. Think of all the important holidays of your life and get a chance to get this book. You don't want to miss the opportunity. KBOO.FM. That's KBOO.FM. Now, dot used to be period when I was a little child, but, you know, dot.
Language changes.
Language changes, but truth never does. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Another way to look at that, 877-500-KBOO.
If you want to know where your money goes, something like 45% of it goes directly to getting this out on the air. A small percent, like I think like under 25%, goes to a small staff of 6 full-time people. Now, really, that means there's more staff than that, but the positions are 6 full-time. They really make such a difference to have your support. 877-500-5266. Please get those phones ringing. And
thank our business partner. We have a business partner that contributed this morning, didn't we, in terms of supporting our phone answers?
Yes, we did, absolutely. We have Bread and Ink Cafe at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, Brecken Kitchen at 1800 Northwest 16th Avenue, and Al Forno Feruza Pizzeria at 2738 Northeast Alberta. These are businesses, just a few of them. You know, when you become a member of KBOO, you not only would get this book if you did it at the $60 level, but you also get a membership card that gives you discounts to small businesses all over Portland, small businesses that know how important it is to have independent radio, non-commercial radio. These are small businesses. Some of them choose to underwrite shows. Some of them choose to give money during, give food to us during membership drives when we have lots of volunteers here in the station. It's a wonderful way. You can find the vast connectedness of KBOO when you become a member and get those membership benefits. But we need to keep the phones ringing. 877-500-5266.
That's 877-500-5266 or KBOO.FM.
Thank you, Joe and Linda. And we have a caller who's been waiting. Thank you so much for calling. Oh, nope. We got the kick is bad signal. Okay, we got to kick his bad signal. It looked like it disappeared again. Well, in that case, Cecil, you were asking Professor Ramirez about some of the solutions, because when we look at the relationship that's been established between government, the corporations, and banks, many of us can feel disempowered. What can we do to make a difference, especially as the grassroots effort?
Well, I think a couple of things. We need to insist on reasonable opportunity for all Americans. I think if we get to the point where all Americans are getting educated and have the skills to compete in a globalized economy, that necessarily is going to be a huge break on power. So things like the GI Bill, we know this works. We did it in the 40s and the 50s, and we increased our college graduates dramatically by as much as 200%. And the best empirical evidence on the impact of the GI Bill is that the government received somewhere between $7 and $12 for every dollar they invested. So why don't we do that? On some levels, the very fact that the GI Bill has been cut over the years, the very fact that it's so restricted in its availability, suggests exactly my thesis, that there's that the government is foregoing reasonable investments that have huge payoffs because the people who run the government don't want to invest in its people. So, you know, that's a huge question for me. Why don't we have a broad service requirement that comes with an entitlement to funds for higher education or vocational training? What about the war on drugs? You know, the United States has long prided itself on being the land of liberty, yet we have the highest incarceration rate in the world by far. And many, many of the people that we incarcerate are in jail for nonviolent crimes. These are the kinds of things where people should be justifiably outraged. We should change these things. We should insist on these things being changed, and they would have a real impact on the distribution of power in our society.
Also, you suggest, in addition to these type of actions in terms of types of things we would like our federal government to do to increase the availability of prosperity for more people, I want you to say a little bit about what regulations that are either in place and mm-hmm. not being enforced, or what regulations that you think should be made law to reverse this trend we are in today.
And who do we lobby to make that happen?
Well, you know, there is a bill in Congress right now that would essentially bring back Glass-Steagall and break up the mega banks, and I can't think of a better way to redistribute economic power in our society than break up the mega banks. You know, every study that looks at these banks finds that they underperform. The fact that J.P. Morgan Chase just took it on the chin in this London whale gamble on European debt and lost $6 billion shows exactly how bad management is at the mega banks. I mean, they just can't control these risks. The incentives are distorted. And we stand behind these banks today as much as we did in 2007, 2008. In fact, very recently, last month, two Federal Reserve Bank presidents went on the record saying that Dodd-Frank has not solved the too-big-to-fail bank problem. So this is something, you know, this is not a political question. Mm. Whether you're a progressive, whether you're a conservative, the fact that these banks continue to be backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government is an economic and moral outrage. It costs about $83 billion a year for the government to subsidize these banks. And, you know, when you think about the needs of the American economy, everything from infrastructure to higher education, $83 billion a year is not insignificant. That's a huge amount of money. Mm-hmm. So I think that even though you don't necessarily see this much on mainstream media, people need to get behind. They need to call their congressperson, call their senator, and get them behind breaking up these mega banks. They are a leech upon our economy.
Let's go to a caller right now.
Oh, okay. We got the word to pitch first. Sorry, caller. Be patient. We'll be back quickly.
All right, and
oh, yeah.
Thank you for listening to KBOO this morning and listening to Lawless Capitalism by Stephen Ramirez. That's our guest today. You know, for a modest membership pledge, I guess is what I should call it.
Yeah, it's a pledge. It's a pledge. It's a promise. It's a commitment.
It's a promise of just $60 a month. You can get his book, Lawless Capitalism, the Subprime Crisis, and the Case for the Economic Rule of Law. Such an important conversation, and we really want to have you guys join in the conversation. Make your money have influence. Celeste was talking about that earlier, and when you contribute money to KBOO, your money is having influence in the community. It's having influence in bringing independent radio that can have people like Stephen Ramirez on, but also can have all of the other programming that you get. To support that, we need you to give us dollars, literally. The phone number to call and do that is 877-500-5266. Now, you can, like my daughter, she says, I don't want to be a member of anything. So she just gives a one-time donation. And she does that every year, and I really appreciate it. But she doesn't be a member. But for those who do want to be part of it, and there are some great things about being a member, you will get a card that gives you discounts to small businesses all over the city that support KBOO, 10% off here, 15% off there, other kinds of discounts like that. So there really are those kinds of benefits, but even more, there's the benefit of knowing that you own this radio station, that this radio station is actually yours and the rest of the community here. But we need you to pick up the phone right away. There's not a phone ringing in the background.
Not a phone ringing anywhere. Oh, my goodness,
the
and you're choking.
I am, and I'm
it's
choking.
It's driving you
I'm
mad.
Choked
don't let her choke, folks. Make a phone call today.
We
you
can't
don't
have
see
you
this
two
woman
apoplectic.
Die.
No apoplexy now. Come on.
Hey, all right. 877-500-5266.
Call
Make the
now.
Call today. You'll feel so much better.
And you know the other thing, Celeste, is we haven't had anyone walk in this morning, and we do frequently, believe it or not, because we are such an accessible place and one of the few radio stations that I know of where you can just walk in the front door. Please do that to bring your contribution. We'll give you a little tour around. We'll give you a cup of coffee and introduce you to people. It's 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. It's we're on the block just south of Burnside on the east side. Great big giant mural on the outside. Bring your money in. Bring it in dollars. Bring it in any way that you would like, but it will make a difference. I want to take just a second before this show gets over. We've been running towards our goal. We have just, you know, we need a couple more of you to call in to make that goal. I want to say that there's some of you out there who have larger amounts of money. There's some of you who have very little, and you might feel that your dollars don't make a difference. So first, I want to say your dollars absolutely
yes, they do.
Do.
$5
a month will really make a difference. You know, you can get a $20 membership if you're a low-income person. You can also get a scholarship one at $20 for someone else, and we will donate it to someone else who can't afford it. But I also want to talk to those of you who have a larger income in this economy. You're still staying afloat. You're still doing okay. Maybe you're even in one of those markets where it's upsurging. Maybe you're a software engineer or you work in some of the new mobile app companies that have popped up all over Portland. I want you to think about giving a larger amount, you know, $200, $300, $500, and do it right now while you're listening, while you're thinking about it. Your money really does have influence when you put it towards a community radio station, and that's KBOO that just reelected a board. We really are a democracy, and we've come through a lot of things as a democracy. You can support that right now at 877-500-5266. Have your money have influence. Come on down and meet the people talking. It's 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Any way you do it, we really appreciate it. In fact, we have another person to thank. It's Sheila, a renewing
thank
member
you,
from
Sheila.
Northwest Portland. Thank you, Sheila. I still haven't heard anyone from the Coast Range. Coast Range, please call in before the show's over. We know you're listening out there.
Mm-hmm. And East Portland, come on, East County.
Yeah, let's do it. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And if you're on the internet, KBOO.fm.
You know, we just had a rollover in phone volunteers. You know, the volunteers are coming in and out of this station all the time. People who
wait, they
are
roll
at,
over?
they I don't mean rolling over on the floor exactly, though I'm quite sure they will do that if we ask them. But
they'll
really,
do anything for
what
money.
What I meant is the new shift came in and the old shift is moving out. And that's part of the lively environment that we have here at KBOO. And we really do, you may not realize it, but almost every single person you hear on the air is a volunteer. volunteer, someone trained. If you wanted to be a volunteer, in fact, that's how I got on the news. If you want to be a volunteer, you can come down here and be trained on everything from interviewing to using audio equipment, recording equipment. That's part of the KBOO mission as well. You guys all make a difference, every single one of you out there. We'd like you to call right now and have your money make a difference for KBOO.
877-500-5266.
That's right. Please call while we go back to our show with Cecil and Celeste.
And as we have a few minutes left, let's try to get to our caller who's been waiting.
Thank you for holding.
Yes, I have a question for your guest. Is right now we have we have QE3, in which the Federal Reserve is giving out $80 billion a month, which is $960 billion a year to the banks and corporations. And that's their stimulus program. But the Republicans fought the stimulus program when Obama first came in. But this stimulus program is still continuing. It's been over 14, 15 months now.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would say, you know, that stimulus program has been important to the economy. But more than anything else, what it's done is it's put a ton of liquidity on the bank's balance sheets. Really, it's hard to see much of that money ending up in the average citizen's pocket or in the economy generally. If you look at the amount of excess reserves these banks hold, it's at an all-time high, approaching $2 trillion. If you look at what these banks really do, a lot of it is derivatives trading. That requires a lot of cash and a lot of collateral. More and more collateral is being soaked up in derivatives trading. If you really wanted to expand the money supply and stimulate the economy, you would find alternative channels other than the banking system. The banking system was notoriously insolvent in 2009, and the government has solved the insolvency problem of the banking system by pumping trillions of dollars, primarily through the Federal Reserve, into the banking system. Most of these banks have not really done a very good job of lending that money out. Instead, most of it seems to be dedicated to derivatives trading. And as a result, you see our economy doing what our economy has done. Asset prices have gone up very high. The stock market's at around 15,000. It reached a low of 7,000 in 2009. But real people don't really benefit much from those kinds of financial instruments. They certainly don't benefit from derivatives trading very much. If anything, it's a drag on our economy because it introduces an element of financial risk and it sucks a lot of capital out of the economy. So I would take great issue with the structure of the Fed stimulus program. It's not fair to say they're giving this money away. They are taking securities back in return for pumping this liquidity into the system, but it is fair to question who exactly wins and who loses from the Fed's efforts. And basically, the folks who are running the mega banks win and everybody else loses.
Well, thank you for your question. And we want to thank you, Professor Ramirez, for joining us this morning and commend to our listeners your book, Lawless Capitalism, the Subprime Crisis, and the Case for an Economic Rule of Law.
And we'd like to invite you back when we're past our membership drive at some point so we could delve a little bit more in depth in your book, because there are areas that we haven't touched yet. And I would really like to hear you unfold this and tell people why the rule of law would be our best defense in this case.
I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you so much. You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. As we have been saying, this is our membership drive. We want to get lots of new members. We want that critical mass. Please, please support us. Keep us strong. Keep us different. I didn't say weird, I say different. What's the difference? Well, weird is fun and frolicsome. Let KBOO be fun and frolicsome, but let it be powerful. Be a powerful influence in your regard, with your thoughts, and with your wishes and political power. Do that by supporting Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland.
tune into KBOO this coming Monday, October 14th from 8 to 10 p.m. when members of the Different Nature Collective present Different Voices. Here are some of the most unusual and challenging uses of the human voice in new music. Sound poetry in which the conventions of melody and meaning melt into a different reality. Join us for this KBOO Fall Membership Drive special. That's Different Voices on KBOO's A Different Nature, Monday, October 14th from 8 to 10 p.m.
You are tuned to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. The time is just coming up on 9 o'clock. Up next is the Old Mole Variety Hour. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Clinton Street Theater, featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as the monthly KBOO Movie Night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com. This program has also been made possible in part by a grant from Friends of KBOO, supporting locally produced, organically grown, homemade programming for Portland and the world. Thanks, KBOO, for 45 years of music, current affairs, and live broadcasts.
Recognizing a communist, physical appearance counts for nothing. If he openly declares himself to be a communist, we take his word for it. If a person consistently reads and advocates the views expressed in a communist publication, he may be a communist. If a person supports organizations which reflect communist teachings, or organizations labeled communist by the Department of Justice, she may be a communist. If a person defends the activities of communist nations while consistently attacking the domestic and foreign policy of the United States, she may be a communist. If a person does all these things over a period of time, he must be a communist. But there are other communists who don't show their real faces, who work more silently.